This is Exploring the Marketplace Podcast. I'm Sean Bowles.
And I'm Bob Hassan. And together, we're inviting you into conversation about what God is doing with entrepreneurs, influencers, and everyday career fields.
Get a fresh perspective with our commentary and stay for the main chorus from our handpicked guests who are vulnerable, transparent, and sharing how their faith affects their career in powerful ways.
If a picture's worth a thousand words, then their life story's worth a thousand sermons. Here we go. Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace. I'm Bob Hassan with my friend Sean Bowles. Sean, we have quite the show today, don't we?
We do. You know, we don't always do this. Sometimes we do. We record the interviews first, then we go back and talk about it later. And we recorded Auntie Ann from Auntie Ann's Pretzels today, Ann Baylor. And it was so good, Bob, wasn't it? She's just so deep. Like, I feel like it's a now word for our audience. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like we need to cut out all of our other segments and just hear this word, like just all in one show.
You mean, Sean, no real topics, no listener feedback, no questions, no scriptures, just Ann?
I know, right? This is how we used to do the shows. We used to just have interviews. But I'm going to tell you about Auntie Ann because we have her on, and she's best known, of course, as a founder of Auntie Ann's Pretzels, which is the world's largest pretzel franchise, and I've enjoyed them myself through the years. Today, she's a speaker, an author, and a leader, and her entrepreneurial insights and personal story have been featured on so many television places, and she actually broke her story on a CBN news channel, on a CBN show. Didn't even mean to, and it came out. But she's been on Secret Millionaire, the Oprah Winfrey Show, Good Morning America, and she's been highlighted in so many publications such as Fortune, Inc., Guidepost, and Entrepreneur magazines. But she's the author of a brand new book called The Secret Lies Within and Overcome and Lead, and she regularly speaks at conferences around the U.S. For more information, go visit her website. But I'm going to tell you, there's something about how she's sharing today that's so vulnerable, and I felt like with where we're at in the economy, where we're at in the world, mm-hmm. that we need an Auntie Ann to share this vulnerable story of how God can bring success no matter what. And he can bring you to a place of fulfillment and bring you to a place of promise no matter what.
Yeah, Sean, I think our listeners and viewers, put your seatbelt on and get your tissues out because she's correlating what has happened in her life to how God used her in business. And this is what all of our viewers and listeners are looking for. And it is just such a powerful interview.
Well, up next, we have Auntie Ann. Are you ready to take your spiritual growth journey even more seriously, all while being involved in an active and engaged community online? Well, we have classes, activation groups, online Discord community, and a 12-month spiritual growth discipleship accelerator that I get to lead. They're going to help you embrace subjects like hearing God's voice, being empowered every day by the real gifts of the Holy Spirit, and developing your spiritual disciplines in a way that's both practical and very practiced. And I've invited expert ministers and all kinds of subjects alongside myself to teach you for 4 weeks classes each month. And if the subject that they're teaching each month isn't effective or is not relevant to the phase of your spiritual growth, we also take past classes and have our pastoral team facilitate totally different subjects for 4 weeks, so you have multiple class options on subjects that matter to you. I can't wait to spend 2 accelerator hours a month with you as I get to activate you, pour into you, and mentor you in practicing hearing God's voice. By the end of these 12 months together, I know you're going to have confidence in your own ability to trust God and yourself and actively speak to you. Come join us at Spiritual Growth Academy. It's going to be one of the greatest decisions you've ever made.
We're here with Ann Baylor, and we're so happy and honored to have you on the show.
Well, thank you so much. I am equally honored to be on your show.
Well, Auntie Ann, I'm going to call you Auntie, I think. I can't help it. But, you know, I ran into you several years ago at a ministry event. We had a kind of a divine meeting, I think. But it's so good to see just the book that's come out recently and just to hear some of your story. And now our audience gets to hear it. But you have one of the most dangerous franchises in the entire world. Because it, like, everybody wants it. You walk by and you smell it in the mall, or you smell it wherever it's at. And my wife and I are like, you cannot not get pretzel bites. Like, you can't. We've been on diets that you've ruined because how good your pretzel. I mean, Wetzel's does not compare. Sorry, Wetzel's, but it's just good your pretzels are. And this has been for decades of my life. But so I want to both thank you and also tell you I am a little bitter. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, not at all.
Is it because you're paying more for the pretzel today than you did 20 years ago?
That could be part of it too, but it's not just the inflation. It's the inflation on my stomach, I think.
you make the choices, so I'm
not. It's not your fault. I made the choice. I put it in my mouth, not you. Well, let's talk about your story, because I think I'm going to go back to where your story started and where God showed up in the story the first time, as far as your career, because everybody, I mean, your brand's a household name, but how did that start?
Wow. Well, so my husband and I, we grew up in the Amish community, and I grew up in where my theology was formed when I was a little girl. I wanted to be a good girl. Mm. And I believe my theology was that I believe that life is good and God is harsh.
Wow.
Meaning, if I keep all the Ten Commandments, then God would bless me and life would be good. And so Jonas and I, we met each other. Both of us were ex-Amish at the time. We had just left the Amish. And his goal and my goal as well was just to have a family, serve God in our community, and please God and follow him, obey him, and do whatever he wants us to do, right? So we get into our marriage, and we're in a very busy, I want to say, a new church that we actually started on my dad's farm. It was a huge, at that time, a big church. And so we became youth pastors. And at that time, we were married about 7 years, and we had two daughters. One was 4, the other 19 months old. And we were living our dream, and God was, I know he was very pleased with us. I just know he was. We were doing it all right, you know? And but everything changed on a Monday morning when our 19-month-old daughter went to my mom's house, which they lived right next door to. Next door, there was a barn between us, and my dad was making a permastone in this barn. But we were out in the country, and it was a very safe environment. And that particular morning, Angela, our 19-month-old, went up to my mom's house, and I went back into the house to, I saw her to the door, and I went back to that phone and was calling my mom to tell her that Angie's on her way. And when I had my hand on the phone, all I heard was screaming. It was just this horrible screaming and wailing. Mm. And in my mind, immediately, I knew that Angie was gone. Oh. And, the mama's heart in us, we know a lot. Our kids don't understand that until they're mamas. You know what I mean? But as a mother, you just know things. You feel things. And so in that moment, I ran out to my door. And as I was got to my front door again, my dad was coming back through the yard with Angela in his arms, wailing and just saying, I believe she's dead. You know, there's not a whole lot I can say about that moment. We don't have the time for that, but traumatic. It changed our lives forever. And the good girl in me, I believe that God, she's in heaven with Jesus. Mm-hmm. I believed all of that. And I knew, I felt comforted by that, but I didn't understand why. If I was doing it all just right, then why did God allow this to happen? And as Angie made her ascent into heaven that day, I began my slow and very gradual descent into a world of spiritual confusion and emotional pain, because I truly didn't understand why. Yeah. And isn't that where we always go? We always go to that. Why did God, allow this to happen? What I know today, my theology back in the day was life is good, God is harsh. Today, with the over 7 decades of real life's experiences, I know that life is hard and God is good. Mm-hmm. I'm not confused about that anymore. So that journey was, you ask why Auntie Anne's? Well, I'm trying to tell you the answer here as short as I can. So soon after that, I went to my pastor for for help and hope and comfort. And he invited me to his office, and I went. And but before I left his office that day, he took advantage of me physically and told me that he knew I was hurting, and that all the needs that I have, Jonas, my husband, could not meet those needs for me, but he would, help me through this time. And I kind of heard what he said, but I sort of didn't understand what that meant, at the time. But when I left his office, then he took advantage of me physically. I walked out of his office door and stood there for a moment, like, what just happened to me? I didn't hardly understood what he did. But I made a choice that day, and this is my message, even into the workplace, wherever I speak today. The choice that we make today is, in fact, the life that we will live tomorrow. My abuse, that was not my fault, but I made a choice that kept me in the dark world in almost 7 years of being enslaved with sexual abuse of every kind by our pastor. At the end of those 7 years, nobody knew. I never told anyone. This was my story. This was my secret. I was 90 pounds. I hated who I'd become. I knew I was unlovable. I was unchangeable. And I knew that I was unforgivable. That's what I truly believed. And I knew that if Jonas would ever find out, he would divorce me. James 5:16, which I didn't even know at the time, but has become my verse. It's where I live today. It simply says, confess your faults one to another. Pray for each other and you'll be healed. We're good at praying for each other, but we're really not too good at confessing our struggles, our thoughts, our feelings, what we're really experiencing on the inside. We have to hide it. And that's the part where I had to learn how to live in the truth of who I was, who God was, and find my way back into Ann Byler, the person that God created me to be. And what I know is Satan wants to steal everything from us. Why? So that we do not fulfill the purpose God has us created. That's why he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But the day I told Jonas my secret, we began this very long journey. He loved me. We didn't talk a lot. Our communication was broken. I couldn't even speak anymore. My voice was completely gone. But I had the courage to tell my secret, two sentences. I told my husband what was going on in my life in two sentences. That's all I had to say. And I walked away because I couldn't hug him. I couldn't ask him to forgive me. I was unworthy. I was full of shame and guilt. But he loved me. And on his knees that day, God gave him he has an incredible story. It's all in my book. And he came home that night and he just said to me, "Hon, I want you to be happy. Promise me that you won't leave me in the middle of the night. I don't want you to go. But if you have to go, then just tell me and we'll talk about it and we'll find a place for you. I'll help you pack what you need. But if you go, you have to take your girls with you." That was the moment when Holy Spirit gave me hope, just a little bit of hope.
Wow.
For the first time in 7 years. But that is the power of confession.
Yeah.
That's the power of it. The power of it. My shackles began to break off. Jonas became very interested. He was like, "How could this happen to us? What? How? How did this happen?" He became interested in psychology, went to Emerge Ministries in Ohio. He did studied for a number of years and became a layman's counselor.
Wow.
And he began counseling free of charge. And at some point, he had no job at that time. He was so passionate about this counseling and he had people from morning to night. And so one day I said, "I'm going to have to go to work, I guess. I was the breadwinner. And I just need to go and make the dough so we get some money to pay for our bills." And that's why Auntie Anne's was started. That's the reason.
Oh my gosh.
A very simple question.
I just feel like I watched a movie.
Right.
And we haven't got to the good in between part where everything started as far as a career. But I mean, that's like so redemptive just to start out the story. Wow.
Yeah, it's God was powerful enough to save us both. And then Jesus and Jonas saved me. Wow. They together saved me as a person and as a mother and as a wife and her family.
Well, it's obvious, Anne, that God has favor and destiny in your life. And he had a direction for you. And we know that he wins, that the enemy doesn't. And you're a living testimony of that. And your business was formed out of redemption.
Yes.
And you started your business and it's grown to where it is today. How did you transition from the pain that you were feeling, the devastation, to putting one foot in front of the other to make pretzels and build your business?
And why pretzels?
Yes.
Well, we bought a store, a farmer's market store, a small little store in a market in Lancaster County. And the store happened to have pretzels. And so we just, had pretzels, ice cream, and some drinks and pizza. And so we went into that store. The product, the pretzels were terrible. But I liked the, I loved the, I'd never made a pretzel before until I was 40. And so as we began to make pretzels, we realized there's fun. It's a lot of fun. It's almost theatrical because we make them in front of the customer and it became, but the pretzel itself, the one, the recipe that was at that store was terrible. I mean, it really was. And for almost 2 months, we kept like fighting with the, like, and I was a baker when I grew up as a kid. By the time I was 11 and 12 years old, I made 60 and 70 pies by myself. Wow. For my mom and dad, for their farmer's market. So I knew when I had a good product. And so one morning we went in and I told my husband, I'm taking the pretzels off the menu. We're just going to do pizza and lemonade and ice cream. And he said, well, before you give up on the pretzels, let me see if I have some ideas. Let me go to the store and get some ingredients and let's just play with this for a little bit. I said, well, all right, I'm totally frustrated. I'm done with the pretzel. But then he came to my rescue. Wow. Again.
Yeah.
And went to the store and brought some ingredients back and we added to the recipe there. And our first dough mix from that point on, we made the product and put it in the oven, began to smell the product. And we're like, it was just he and I at the store at that time. It was early on a Friday morning. And I'm like, wow. So we kept opening the oven door, like, what is this? So we noticed the product looked different, smelled different. When we brought the product out, we stood there and we broke bread together. And when I think about that, the pretzel is really bread. And the shape of the pretzel has a spiritual significance. Back in 610 AD, the monks were teaching their kids about prayer, and they would take leftover, if you said your prayers correctly, they would take leftover bread dough and fold it into a pretzel shape, which folded arms in prayer is the twist. And the three holes represent Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then you salt them. You are the salt of the earth.
Wow.
It was a spiritual product straight from heaven. And immediately our sales increased immediately, not like in a few days, weeks, no, immediately.
Wow.
We knew that God created Auntie Anne's pretzels. We knew that immediately, but we didn't know, you know, we were just doing one store. That was our plan.
Yeah.
So.
Well, on top of that, I see, Bob, they're made from heaven, so we get as much as we want. I'm just kidding. I love them so much. I said, they're made straight from heaven, so we get as much as we want. And that's the rule if it's made from heaven. I'm just kidding. But let's talk about, so you were only doing one store and you actually were able to start doing franchises. And there was even some particular challenges of that because you hadn't had the experience that took you there. So talk about that. I mean, that must have been a massive scaling because you see them everywhere. They're everywhere. So talk about that first level of scaling and what happened.
Well, right. We had Jones and I, being raised Amish, we had eighth grade education. We had no formal business business experience. We had education was nothing. We had no money. We had no business plan. So when I say the no's, the three no's, it was that simple. We didn't have that. And so when we finally came up with a great product, we had people called us weekly. People would call us. We want to do Auntie Anne's pretzels. And I was a stickler. I didn't want anyone to make the product and then take it somewhere because the fresh baked hand rolled pretzel was there for you to enjoy fresh out of the oven. And that was I was anal about that. And so we kept saying no to everybody that wanted to do something with Auntie Anne's pretzels. And one day my brother came to me and said, I want to do an Auntie Anne pretzel store at a farmer's market. And I said, oh, wow, you do? Yeah. He said, I want to use your name. And I want to use the recipe. And I said, I knew nothing about franchising. And I said, wow, huh, okay. Well, then, you know, what about a $1,200 startup fee? We'll help you build your store. And a 4% gross, a percentage of your sales, 4% of that gross would be, I called it just a small fee. So because you're using my name and my product. So, wow. So that's how we started.
Wow.
So we had about 12 stores the first 2 years. We ended up with 12 stores, two, and then 14 stores the first 2 years. And in during that second, the end of the second year, which would have been 1989, the beginning of 1990, so we had a franchisee come to us that was, he wanted to do Antian's, and we signed him up and everything. And he was in the with us for maybe a couple of months. And one day I get this call from him, and he said, Ann, I need to meet you and Jonas at a somewhere. We need to talk about, you know, your business. And he said, I just want you to know, you're not licensing, you're franchising. And I said, no, we're not. We're licensing, because we had gone to an attorney and gotten a one page, a little licensing agreement where you could sign. And I just told him, I don't want it to be complicated. I knew that McDonald's was something like that, but I didn't know it was called a franchise. I don't want to make it complicated. I just want to keep it simple. I said, well, we need to meet. So we met, and he said, you're in trouble, because he had worked for a franchise company. Long story short, we heard him out. My heart was pounding. My stomach hurt. I'm like, what am I going to do? By now, we had about, by the time I spoke to him, we had probably around 35, 40 maybe stores. And so we read and we prayed about this, and I read a book, and I began to understand, wow, we're franchising. And we found out that because we were like in five states by then, New York, Maryland, New Jersey, just the states close by, that if you do not have a UFOC document to go into business in that state, every store that you open, you could be fined $50,000 a day.
Oh, my gosh.
That's back today. And I was like, I mean, I didn't sleep. We prayed.
Right.
So we got together, and we got all of our franchisees at that time. We got them together, because Jonas and I, from very beginning, we said, if we're going to do this, we're going to do our business as unto the Lord. We're not going to we want people to be successful. So we're going to be open, honest, and just, you know, being people of integrity. Well, we had no idea how that was going to be tested, really. But all I knew to do was bring the people to the table and talk about this. And so it's what we did. And we put everything on hold, brought all of our franchisees in, and we talked about it. And we had not one franchisee that left us.
Wow.
We didn't have any legal fees. We weren't sued by any of the states, because we called the State Department, the people at the right levels in the State Departments, and told them what happened. We were just upfront with what was happening, and we had no problem. The key to a successful company, I believe, in the Christian world, and the problem is, we're in this world, but we're not of it. We forget that. So we take on the business principles of the world, and we neglect, you know, the book of Proverbs, or Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where Jesus talked about how to do business, right? So it was really important for us to really follow the principles in the Word of God. And I'm not a teacher. I couldn't explain to you all of the things that we did. But just inherently, we wanted to follow God, and we wanted to do it His way. And you know what? He came through for us many, many, many times. And in the almost 20 years of Auntie Anne's, and let me tell you, by the time there was about 900 locations, we didn't have one litigation.
That's amazing. That
we were not able to resolve around the table.
Yeah.
Come to the table. Let's be open, honest, transparent. We can resolve this. And that was our mindset.
Wow.
It's so amazing. I mean, by doing the right thing, by just doing the right thing, by communicating, by bringing people around the table, by sharing the burden. I mean, you learned that early in your life with your biggest secret, and you've carried it through your life. That's and right. I'm sure now you've carried it into this book that you've written. Talk to us about this book that you've written.
Well, so Overcome and Lead, you know, I think that fear is a factor. It really is, you know, and I believe that we are people of faith, and faith pushes you into your purpose. I mean, it moves you forward into your purpose. Fear will freeze you, and you will never be able to move forward in this place of fear. And as the company was growing, and as we continued to become more professional and more franchisees and more employees, and all these things kept happening. And I'm trying to keep up with the growth of the company. And my mom and dad taught us at home to love each other, number one, as a family, love each other. It's important to care about your neighbor and to be involved with community. It's important to love God and to serve him. So all of those things were my foundation, you know. And there was a verse in the Bible that the Lord gave me during that time, the early years, I would say the first 3-4 years of Auntie Anne's, the overwhelming and the feeling like you're just not qualified. God gave me a scripture verse in Psalm 32, verse 8. He said to me, I will teach you. I will help you. I will teach you in the way that you should go.
Yes.
I will counsel you with my eye. And, you know, we didn't have the academic, we didn't have the education. And, you know, there were times I wished I would have had that, because then I could have told everybody that I have that and I could have learned from that, I'm sure. But, you know, my story, I'm not ashamed of any part of my story, because I can tell you that God was true to his word. And because we didn't have the extras, all the things out there that are available to a lot of people, it just wasn't available to us. But God was faithful to us. But I believe even with a higher education, God wants to intervene. He wants us to take the high road. He wants us to lean on him. So we started in without the three things were no education, no capital, and no business plan. But as overcome and lead, for me, I overcame as I led. I didn't wait till I was amazing.
I love that. I love that. Yeah.
I mean, I truly stayed. My husband and I kept talking, and we gathered a really great group of people. Hey, listen, I didn't do this by myself. It was the people that we hired that made Auntie Anne's grow. I'm telling you, we brought people that knew more than we did. Mm-hmm. And Jonas and I, you know, we would constantly talk about the direction that God wants us to go and how many stores does he want us to have. And we just concluded that we're going to open the gates wide and we're going to build one store at a time and do it really well and just see where the Lord wants to take us. And we would never have imagined or dreamed that he would take us around the world in less than almost 5-6 years. We went from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, to Jakarta, Indonesia, literally halfway around the world.
Amazing.
By that time, you know, someone told me once, you know, if you do something for 10 years, you become an expert. And by that, I think I might have been 2 years at Aunt A's. I remember clearly, I started crying. I said, 10 years from now? I mean, I need to know now.
Right. Okay. So,
but he was right. In 10 years, you learn the business. You learn the really important thing. So if anybody asks you a question, in 10 years, you can give them an educated answer and you know a lot. So within a few years, I began to understand what franchising really was. And we began to departmentalize and we brought in people that were experts in the field of franchising and in accounting and in training and all these. We had, I don't know, maybe 15 different departments in our company within a couple of years. And at one point, I just, you know, most days, I have to tell you, I was overwhelmed from morning to night. Things most of the time, I didn't know what I was doing. But you know what I did? I loved people. And I began to trust people. And delegating is the only way you're going to grow your business. But you can't do that if you don't trust people. So all of those things were very, very difficult for me. But through it all, Jonas and I both knew Auntie Anne's was created to give. And I want to go back to a story we talked about. I think it was a question that was in the information that you sent to me. How did you take your faith into the workplace, you know, and how did that work for you? And honestly, at the very beginning, I felt guilty because now I'm consumed within 1 year of building 10, 12, 13, 14 stores. I was consumed with Auntie Anne's, traveling locally, but statewide. I was traveling all the time. So we were no longer involved in church. Like as far as really ministering in church, we were going to church and paying our tithes, but that was it. And at a missions Sunday service, I'm standing in the front row and I'm weeping because I said, Lord, I saw all the missionaries up front. And I'm like, wow. Did I miss my calling? Like, is this what God wants me to do? So I'm raising my hands and I'm just praising God. I'm just weeping. like, and I just said to the Lord, did I get off track here? Am I where you want me to be? I mean, I really thought that one day Jonas and I would minister in the church. And as I said that, I looked up and I saw Jesus in my mind. I can't say it was a vision, but I clearly saw a picture in my mind. And Jesus, I can still see it. He was looking down on me, smiling, almost laughing, looking down on me. And I'm rolling pretzels. And when I saw his face, I just said, "What is it?" And he said, "I have created Auntie Anne's as a vehicle for missions to give."
Wow.
I stopped crying. And I'm like, wow, this Auntie Anne's is our ministry. Mm-hmm. That was the moment when faith just complete, it just grew inside of me. And I never once doubted that Auntie Anne's was our ministry. And I got in the car after church that Sunday and I said to Jonas, "Hun, now I know what we're supposed to be doing. I'm Auntie Anne and you're the counselor. Yes, he's going to support you for as long as we need. This is our ministry." You know, and I always saw ministry as being somewhere in Africa. Maybe I need to go to Africa or maybe, I don't know, who knows where God wants to send me. But our ministry is right where we are.
Yeah.
In the business world, it's really about being, just being an influence, being an example. And I remember another story when I was making my rounds at Auntie Anne's. We had maybe 100 employees at that time corporately in our home office. I would make my rounds because I wanted to know my people.
Right.
It's so important for you to know your people, love your people, respect them, treat them well. Give them, you know, perks and bonuses and share with the profitability of your company. It's so important. But I think the number one importance is to know your people. Let them know who you are. Mm-hmm. And as I was making my rounds, I'm getting to know my people. And every now and again, people would say, you know, it's not a good idea to love your employees or to be close to them or have relationships with them. I'm like, I just love my people.
Yeah.
And I hear their stories. And I came back one Monday morning and I'm walking in my office and I was exasperated. I really was very frustrated because I'm hearing these stories of the people's lives. And I came back to my office and I said, "God, what is it? What do you want? Do you want me to be an evangelist?" And he said, clearly, "I want you to be salt and light." Huh. And that moment, again, you know, when God interrupts your thoughts, it's like you can't forget it. It's there. You got to do something with it, right? Yeah. And so that was the day I discovered that Auntie Anne's was created to be light. And I said to the Lord, "Well, how do I be light?" You know, I knew this song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine." You know, I'm in the church. I'm in my community. I'm doing all the right things. But how do I let my light shine in corporate America? With people in our office, not all of them are believers. Mm-hmm. How do I do this? And what I discovered was, as time went on, I really just thought about it and researched and read the Word of God. And, you know, I believe, this is my opinion, I believe that light is simply being. Mm-hmm. And it starts with the internal heart. It starts with the inside of me. And I began to develop and try to let go of all the pain of the past, wow, the guilt and the shame. And in time, a very long story, but it was part of my overcoming journey. And in time, I understood what it meant to be. I don't have to say everything I think. I don't even have to say everything I know.
Yeah.
It's okay to be quiet and listen as the boss, if that's who you are, or the owner. But it's much better to be able to influence your people by your presence. And that's a whole other subject.
You know, it's so interesting because I feel like there's that show Undercover Boss. And when I've watched in the past, it's like the bosses feel so disconnected from their work. They just feel so just. And I just then contrast that to someone like you who's living out of a kingdom mindset with Jesus. Yeah. And you're so connected to what he's built for you. And I just think it's like we wouldn't need an Undercover Boss show if people led like you. It just wouldn't even need to exist. But it's because of that disconnect that's happened through a lot of corporate America or corporate world. And I'm just so grateful to hear your story. I'm so grateful to hear just who you are. And I think Overcome and Lead, the book, I want to encourage all of our viewers to get that book. Everywhere books are sold, it's there. And to hear someone like Anne just share her story from such a vulnerable place will also give you courage, because I know many of you are on that career journey. You're on that entrepreneurship journey. And if Anne could do it, you can do it. And that's the reality, is if she can listen to God, if she can walk with God, if she can overcome the challenges, I mean, there's some pretty intense challenges, mm-hmm. you can do it. And I'm just so encouraged, Anne, because I feel like you imparted that grace and you mentored us as you shared your story.
I just feel like there's, we're living in a very troubled, always have lived in a troubled world, but it feels like it's intensified. And I think that we take in so much. And for me, going from the darkness of my life, I mean, the dark world of evil, to the light of Christ. You know, evil shrivels you like a pruin, like you get smaller and smaller and smaller. But in the light, you become, it just gets more, there's more light. There's no limit to the light. And so that's where I live today. And that that principle, living and walking in the light in a Christian business, in my opinion, it's so important to live there, because when you're light filled, people will come to you, and it gives you opportunity to just introduce them to a life that is worth living.
Well, that's the end of another Exploring the Marketplace podcast, where we bring everyday people who are seeing their faith affect their career in powerful ways. Make sure to hit like on this video, hit the subscribe button and notifications so you don't miss an episode. Also, I want to hear from you, so let's talk in the comment section. See you next time.